Ahead and open up our Bibles tonight, and we'll turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 27 tonight. Psalm 27 and verse number 14. I'm going to read one verse and then read a couple of verses, Psalm 27, 14, and Psalm 37, verse number 7. So Psalm 27, 14, at the end of the chapter, Psalm 37, and verse number 7. All right, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and I'm going to say a couple of things, and then we're going to do something I don't know if I've ever done before. But if you got your Bibles, you really need your Bibles tonight, because I'm going to read a lot of verses. So I want you to see something here that's, I believe, very, very good, very much, very revealed in the Scriptures for us. So Psalm 27, verse number 14. Let's begin here. He says, "Now wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 37 and verse number 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Maybe you've already can tell, we have. I have already opened up another can of worms on the subject of patience. And tonight, I thought that maybe last week we would end this little topic of patience, but it is resurfacing, and this subject I want to deal with this evening and perhaps next week also, with the thought of being patient with God. Patient with God. Last week we've seen how God is patient with us, but also there is a subject in how we need to be patient with God, how we need to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. Because David knew in Psalm 27, "He shall strengthen thy heart, wait, I say, on the Lord." He knew that we as people have a problem waiting on God. We have a problem waiting, we have a problem with patience, perhaps in other areas, but as we can tell tonight, this whole subject is being patient with the Lord. I thought we were done with the subject, but I guess I will just have to be patient with it. But seriously, think about this. We are not done yet, because underneath this heading of patience, we find this thought of being patient with God. And really, when you think of being patient with God, it's quite an undertaking for us earthlings to be patient with the Lord. In some ways, I know that God understands this, and He permits that we see things come to their fruition, to their end. But on the other hand, God is also keeps us from things and doesn't allow us to know everything, does He? If He did, then we would lose the element of faith in the Lord that God would want us out of our Christian life. But out of all the things to be patient with, we looked at being patient with things, patient with people, patience and times of trials and times of trouble, but you cannot really get fresh. You cannot, perhaps the hardest of them is being patient with the Lord, being patient with God, waiting on God, perhaps is one of the hardest things to do, is to wait on the Lord. So we're going to journey through the Scriptures and we're going to thumb through our Bibles, and we're going to begin in Genesis chapter number 49, all right? I don't have these written out in my notes. I just purposely have the references down, so I'll flip as you flip, okay? But I did help you out tonight, because we'll just go in chronological order here. So we'll start here in Genesis and proceed on through here, okay? So all of these verses that I want to bring out tonight are dealing with waiting on God, patience with the Lord. And we'll be using some of these, so think about these as we bring them up. Psalm 49 in verse number 18, I'll give you a little bit of probably a reference to some of these, not all of them. But in here we have Jacob is giving his blessings to his sons, And in the middle of this blessing, he says in verse number 18, he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Jacob is about to die, and there's no doubt that he is probably coming to the end of his life. And he says here in the middle of this blessing, I've waited for this day for a very long time. I've been looking forward to this day to meet God, to go home and be with Him. I have waited, he says, for thy salvation, O Lord. Exodus 14 and verse number 13. Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number 13. We find Moses and the children of Israel here. And here they are standing on the edge of the Red Sea. And as they're standing there, the Egyptians are behind them. And the Red Sea is in front of them. And as they stand there and look at the two things, they have to make a decision. And God tells them, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. He tells them, stand still. That's an idea of waiting. Be careful, be waiting, be patient. God's going to take care of us. Just you watch and see. Second Chronicles chapter number 20. So you're going to skip over quite a few here and go over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Again, the children of Israel are facing a time of battle here. And a very interesting thing happens in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 7. He says, art not thou our Lord, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land and before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, and they dwelt therein, and have built a sanctuary therein for thy name. Did I miss a verse here? He says in verse number 6, he says, O Lord, our God, our fathers, art not thou in heaven, and rulest not over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand there is not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee. I've missed something here. I don't know how I've missed this, but anyhow. He is telling them, basically, Jehoshaphat is about to fight these people, and he's going to tell them, he tells the people to wait, watch out. Be careful. God's going to show you His power. God's going to show you His blessings. It was 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 17. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. He tells them, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So again, we find here we are. They says, stand still. Watch out. They're coming to fight. They're coming to beat up on you. They're coming to defeat you, but stand still. Be patient. God will fight for you. Psalms chapter number 33. Psalm chapter number 33 and verse number 20. We'll deal with several here in the book of Psalms. But Psalm chapter number 33, we already read 27:14, where he taught them to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The Lord shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But in Psalm 33, in verse number 20, he continues the theme. And he says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Look here at Psalm chapter number 37, in verse number 7. We already read it once, but let's read it again. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37 in verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 in verse number 34. Look what he says now. He says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. Go over to Psalm 62 in verse number 5. Psalm 62 in verse number 5. Just showing you here that God wants us to wait on him. Psalm 62 in verse number 5. Look what it says. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. That word expectation is hope. It's the idea of hope. I'm looking forward to God. I'm looking forward to him helping us and blessing us, he's saying. Look to him. Psalm 123 in verse number 2. Psalm 123 in verse number 2. Look what he says here. Psalm 123 in verse number 2 says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." What an awesome illustration that is. He says, you know, as the servants wait on their masters and look to them and see what they need and waiting for them, so we are waiting on God in that matter, just waiting on Him, looking to Him, watching Him. Psalm chapter number 130 in verse number 5. Psalm 130 in verse number 5. He says again, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope." Look how he connects the two. The idea of patience with God and the idea of the Word of God being connected together. Waiting on God, the Word of God. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter number 8. Isaiah has quite a lot to say about waiting on God. But Isaiah chapter 8 in verse number 17. This is not exhaustive either. I'm just leading you through a small little portion of Scripture. Isaiah 8:17. Look what he says. Isaiah says, "And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him." Wow, diligence. Even though God is hiding, he says, "I will wait. I will look. I will go and find out for Him. I will wait." Isaiah chapter number 25 and verse number 9. Isaiah 25, 9. Now look what he tells them here. He says, "And it shall be in that day, lo, this is that it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." Think about that. It wouldn't be a wonderful day if we just keep waiting on God, that one day when we actually see God, it will say, "Hey, this is Him. This is the one I've been telling everybody about. I've been waiting for this day." Looking forward to it. Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 8. He says, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." He says in Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 31, perhaps one of the most famous places of waiting that is in the book of Isaiah. If you don't have this verse memorized, you should. If you don't have it underlined, go ahead. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Jeremiah 14 and verse number 22. Jeremiah 14, 22. I hear pages flipping, so I think you're keeping up with me. Jeremiah 14 and verse number 22. Look what Jeremiah says. He says, "Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou He, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee. For thou hast made all these things." I mean, think about that. He's saying, Lord, can the Gentiles make it rain? You know, can they conjure up something? Can they do a little rain dance to maybe make it rain and get some nourishment to our land? No, Lord, no. Nobody can do what you can do, Lord. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you, Lord. We'll wait for you. It's okay. You ever been like that somewhere at a restaurant? Or somewhere you just say, you know what, we'll just wait. We'll wait. Maybe you've got a favorite waiter or waitress or somebody, a server, and they say, "Oh, so-and-so is available." And, "That's okay, we'll wait." Because you know, if you get this guy or you get this girl, you'll wait. You'll have them. Man, I'll wait on them. I'll wait. Isaiah, or look over in Lamentations. Oh, man, these are some good verses right here. Lamentations 3:25 and verse number 26. Lamentations 3 in verse number 25 and 26. Look what he tells them. He says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him." Think about that. The goodness of God. If you wait on God, God will be good to you. That's saying good things come to those that wait, right? I came from this right here. I came from Lamentations 3:25. Good things come to them that wait. The Lord is good unto them that wait on Him. Wait for Him. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just stating that out loud. So that statement's been around for a long time, and they might have got it from there. And quietly wait for the salvation of, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'll talk more about that here in just a second. Quietly wait. Micah chapter number 7 and verse number 7. Micah 7, 7. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. If you've made it to Haggai or Zephaniah, you're gone too far. Jonah, Micah, Micah 7, 7. Look what he tells them. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You know, waiting on God is required in prayer. If you're praying about something, if you really want to get something from God, you got to wait. Sometimes you got to wait. You just got to keep praying. And Micah says, I will look. I will wait. My God will hear me. You know, the thing about waiting on God is that there is an expectation. There is a confidence that you know God will do. He will do what He's told you He will do. He will do it. He will accomplish. He will perform the task. Zephaniah chapter number 3 and verse number 8. I just struggled to put this verse in, but you know what? It's a good thought, really it is, Zephaniah 3:8, that God will rise up and He will unleash His judgment one day. It says in Zephaniah 3:8, He says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now let's look to a couple of places in the New Testament. Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 43. Mark 15 and verse number 43. Look what it says over here. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. These Old Testament saints, a lot of them had this in their hearts, to wait on God, to wait on the Lord, to be patient, to just wait. God will take care of matters in His timing. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. Here is another example of what I've just talked to you about. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25, a man named Simeon. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here he was waiting. He knew something special was on the scene. Something was going to happen, the consolation, the comfort of Israel. And that was Jesus Christ, who would come, and He would even hold and see in His arms, and He'd say, now I can go home to be with the Lord. Romans chapter number 8. Two more. Romans 8 in verse number 25. Romans 8:25. Just after Paul deals with the creation receiving its healing from the Lord, he says to us in verse number 25, he says, and again, hope and patience go right hand to hand. For we are saved by hope, he says in verse 24, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting for the fact of the, we're waiting for Jesus to come again, looking forward to that. And 1 Thessalonians 1:10. goes right along with that same thought, that same vein. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and look what he tells them here. He says now, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, this is what we are to do. He says now, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So all of these verses, they go hand in hand with this one subject of waiting on God, being patient with God. And as I said in our introduction, it's probably one of the hardest things for us as human beings to understand and to do sometimes. When you really think about that for a moment, you know, you cannot get frustrated with God. I mean, you can, I guess. I guess you can get frustrated with the Lord, but it won't do you much good. In fact, if you do get frustrated with Him, you probably won't be in the right, nor will you have a good conscience, and nor will you even feel legitimate. When you really start to think about getting frustrated with God and you're truly a born-again saint of God, you really understand that's really not a legitimate thing to do. It's not logical to get frustrated with the Lord because you have inside of you a deep, practical understanding of God. Simply this: God is perfect, God is loving, God is kind, He's eternal, and He has infinite wisdom, and He knows exactly what He is doing, right? So to get frustrated with God is to really get frustrated with His will, with His decrees, and what He is going to do, God is going to do. So frustration doesn't work. Could we try to worry? How about worrying? Does worrying work? Does that work at all? Be careful for nothing, he says, but by prayer and supplication, making your requests known unto God. So worrying is not something that's going to do good for us. It's not going to help out a situation. Because when you become worrisome, you become anxious, you become unfaithful, and deep down inside, again, you know about this issue on the horizon. It does no good to worry about it. No good whatsoever. Worrying never saves sailors from sinking ships, all right? It never does anybody any good to be frustrated and worried whenever there's a ship that is sinking, right? I mean, they're no good. Why worry? Let's get something done. But also, think about this. Think about this. That could possibly... Just doing something and not waiting on the Lord and you doing what you think is best, do you think that maybe that is what we should do? No, that's not going to work either. Well, I guess you could try it, right? And then after you've miserably failed and you've really come to the place where you've understood that you did wrong, you'll understand that you got ahead of God. Just like when God told the Israelites, remember what He told them? Whenever God told the Israelites, don't go into Canaan land. You had your chance. You had your opportunity. It's too late now. I'm not going with you. What did they do instead? They went on ahead. And what happened? People died and people were wounded and people were injured. You can go ahead and try to go ahead without God, but it's just not going to work. It's not going to happen. Frustration, worry, and even action will never replace waiting on God. Perhaps waiting on God is one of the key elements of the Christian life, really, when you begin to consider it. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Now go back to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37, we read it twice, so you probably know where it is already. Psalm 37 in verse number 7. But what does it mean to wait on the Lord, to wait patiently for Him, even as we read? Or to wait quietly, as we read in another place? After reading all of these and studying this out a little bit, really when you think about what does it mean to wait on the Lord, it quite simply means to allow yourself not to get ahead of Him, to not be hurried. Do not be frustrated, irritated, or worried when you don't see things moving at the speed you would like for them to go. I think that's a great thought on a great way to understand waiting on God is to give God His space. He will work in His timing. Don't get ahead of God. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, right? God's going to do what he's going to do when he's going to do it. So you're really never getting ahead of God, I guess, really. But in the sense that you could get ahead of, you might, to think about it like this, you might, it's like you jumping before God says jump. Does that make sense? I mean, that's very important, and instructions whenever they're dealing with paratroopers, and they want them to jump whenever the instructor says to jump, because if not, there could be dangerous consequences on the other end of that. So they say, now jump. Now jump. They have a sequence, they have an order, and God has a sequence, and God has an order. And God, when God says jump, that's when we jump. When God says go, that's when we go. When God says do, that's when we do. But just because you jump when God doesn't say jump is not going to thwart his plans, right? I mean, his plans will keep on going just like a ship passing in the night. Unnoticed sometimes. Sometimes you don't even see it happening. You don't even notice it. You're maybe too busy. Maybe you'd be too worried. But our will and our way and our life may be ruined, it may be hurt, it may be stopped, it may be bankrupt, it may be challenged, or it may be made more difficult if we decide to get ahead of God. Waiting on God comes in also a variety of forms. Jacob was waiting on God to take him home, right? I mean, that's why this thing of assisted suicide is ridiculous for anybody that ever considered being a Christian. I mean, that's a lost man's way to die. Because you're not waiting on the Lord. It's just a very practical aspect of not waiting on God. You're taking your own life. Is it going to thwart God's plans? Is it going to mess everything up if somebody does something like that? No. But I'll tell you what, the consequences of it could be very devastating. Especially to your own soul, if you're not saved. But also to your family. Anybody in here have a close friend or relative that has committed suicide? Two of us? It's a horrible thing. Please help, find people help with that. God's got a time for people to go, right? And it's not a fun subject to deal with, but Jacob was waiting on God to take him home, you know? He saw it. It's my time. He was waiting on it. He was excited. When God takes you home, all right, here it is. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I don't understand how it worked out, but I think Miss Odin, for somehow, some way, somehow, I'd feel like she had a little bit of special revelation from the Lord where God said, it's time. Time to go. And she looked over at Brother Odin and said, I'm going home. He said, you're home. She said, no, I'm going home. And she did. She went home to be with the Lord. I don't understand all that. I don't understand how those kinds of things work. But I do understand this. God's got a time for all of us. We'll just wait on that. Don't get ahead of God. Israel in 2 Chronicles were waiting for God to fight the battle. They're just waiting. He told them, God's going to fight for you, but it'll be tomorrow. All right? Won't be today, it'll be tomorrow. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's tomorrow. God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. David in Psalm chapter number 37, we're there already, you're there. What was he being waiting on? He was waiting for God to punish those who prospered in the way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. David was really frustrated with people that were wealthy, and they were wealthy for the wrong reasons. They were wealthy because they brought wicked devices to pass. That's why they were wealthy. And David said, that's not right. And it's not right. It's not good. It's not a good thing. But we see it in our society today. And we say, well, that's something needs to be done. Yeah, something does need to be done. And God will take care of it when it's done, right? God will take care of things in his time, in his purpose, and in his plan. Let's not get ahead of God, right? Moses was waiting on God to make a way to get away from the Egyptians. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to come. And today we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Waiting takes all kinds of forms. But I cannot get ahead of God in death, in battles, in the wicked man's ways, the salvation of God, his soon return, his help, or even his strength, or even his provision. I can't get ahead of God on those things. God will do as he wills in his time and on time, every time. Does that mean that I just sit around and do nothing at all? Not at all. Kind of goes back to what we looked at on Sunday night. Live as you are called. Live as you are called. Live in the situation, in the place that you're at now. Do the best you can right now. Do what God's asked you to do right now. Obey his commandments right now. All right? Because whether you're rich or poor, married or single, or a child or not a child, or whether you've got a parent or if you don't have a parent, that doesn't matter. All that matters is that you live right now in the condition that you are in right now and obey God. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. You can obey God, right? It doesn't matter if you're married or unmarried. You can obey God. It doesn't matter if you're a child or not a child. You can obey God because you can do what God's asked you to do right this very moment. You're there in Psalm chapter number 37. Look what he says here. And I was excited to bring this out because he said it another time. He said, wait quietly on the Lord. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What is that rest in the Lord? Rest. What do you mean rest in the Lord? Take a lazy boy out, you know what I mean? And go down to Haverty's, buy a lazy boy and put Lord on the side of it, you know what I mean? I'm resting in the Lord right here, man, every single day. No, that's not what he's talking about. Rest there is the idea of being still. Being still. It really is the idea of, it is literally the idea of being dumb is what the word rest is. And I did cross-reference that with the sheep being as a shearer is as dumb. It's not the same word, and nor is it the same word as be still and know that I am God. It's not the same word there. Those aren't the same words there. But nonetheless, those two ideas come into play here with that, that if you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who was dumb as a sheep before his shearers was dumb, so our Lord opened not his mouth. He was quiet. He rested in the Lord. And so it is, we are to be still and know that he is God. Be still. Be quiet. David said it like this in Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. We were reading the Psalms the other night with Miles, and Miles spoke up. He said, when we got done, we read about Selah about four times, and he said, wow, that Psalm's got a lot of Selahs in it. And I said, yeah. I said, well, must want us to think a little bit, right? Must want us to think a little bit. That's what Selah is, Selah, however you say it. I'm not a very good Hebrew pronunciation expert or anything, but it just means to think, to meditate. Think about that, though. Be still. You know one thing, one problem we have, we talk too much. We talk too much. We talk too much to each other. We talk too much to this. We say this. We say too much. And you know what? Sometimes we just talk too much to God. Sometimes we just need to close our mouths. Be still. Listen. Be astonished. Be quiet. Be still. Cease from speaking. Because we have too many reasons. We have too many excuses. And every once in a while, we just need to be quiet and let God speak. Rest in the Lord, he says. Rest. Wait. And when you find somebody that's getting impatient, frustrated, feeling like they've got to solve the problem, you can bake on it right now. They're not waiting on God. They're not waiting on the Lord. I don't know what waiting on God looks like in every single one of you, but I definitely know what not waiting on God looks like. I know it, what it looks like, because I've seen it in my life. Feeling like I got to solve a problem. Feeling like I've got to do something. Feeling like I've got to take care of something. Why don't we just hold off a second and let God take care of some things? And wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But consider this. Whenever you think about waiting, resting, being still in the Lord, doesn't that kind of go really well, though, with our modern-day waiting room, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, what do you do in a waiting room? I mean, do you run around and, you know, get out the kazoo and start playing, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy? I mean, are you hooping and hollering? No, you're usually quiet. Some nice little elevator music that's playing, right? Some little magazines out there that you care nothing about, but you flip through them anyhow. It's quiet. If the kids start to run around and get a little rambunctious, you hush them and tell them to be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. There's no signs in there that says be quiet or anything like that. It just, we feel like we got to be quiet. Because why? Because we're in a waiting room, right? We're in a waiting room. Shh. We got to be quiet. Even perhaps you're in that room to do what? You're there to wait on a doctor, right? You're experiencing some kind of problem. You're waiting on a test result, some scan that was done, or to relieve some pressure that was in a toothache or something like that. You're there for a reason. But for the most part, you're quiet, sitting down, waiting. The receptionist finally says what? The doctor will now see you. I mean, do you walk in and do you get frustrated with the doctor? You're upset with him? Are you irritated? You say, give me the needle. I'm going to take care of it myself. You know, is that what you do? I'm going to take care of this problem. No, because why? Because you're there to see the doctor, right? And being frustrated with the doctor is not going to help your situation out any at all. Being irritated with him is not going to improve your situation whatsoever. It's not going to remedy anything that you have going on. You're there to see him. But think about that. Shouldn't we every single day come to the waiting room of God? Before the pressures mound up, before the frustrations get started, before the irritation of the day starts in our life, shouldn't we just pause . Some of you are very uncomfortable right now, because for some of you this is the first time it's been quiet all day. Pause and listen and just say, Lord, I want to walk with you today. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to wait on you. No sense in getting frustrated. Don't get worried. The day hasn't even started. Will you come to him expecting that? Expecting him to give you comfort? Will you wait until he does? Or will you just simply bypass the waiting room, walk right on by it, and just continue your day and start your day as if you don't need to go in and see the doctor? No, I've got it today. It'd be well worth your investment and in my investment of time to spend a little time each day with God, waiting on God. We've got too much to do to not wait on the Lord. We've got too much to do. I forget who it was, some well-known person in years gone by, that's what he said. He said, you know, I've got so much to do today, I have to pray 2 hours before I do it. Think about that. I mean, that stuff doesn't compute with us, really. Maybe it does for you. But if you will wait on God, I'll tell you what, the blessings that come to the person that waits on God are just astounding. They're astounding. Luke 8:15 says that he will produce fruit that remains in our life. He will patiently, those that patiently wait on God, God will produce a fruit in their life. Patience with God. In Psalm 27:14, we read that patience with God produces strength and courage. In Psalm 62:1, we read that patience establishes your salvation. And I don't mean salvation to heaven. I just mean your salvation that you might need in a battle that you're facing. Psalm 130 in verse number 5, we learned that patience with God produces hope. Isaiah 25 in verse number 9, we learn that it produces joy and gladness. Isaiah 26:8, we learn that it produces a longing for God. Lamentations 3:25, we learn that it produces goodness. Psalm 25:3 produces boldness. Psalm 25 in verse number 21, it produces integrity and rightness. Not righteousness, but rightness. You know what rightness is? It's being right. Does anybody like to be right in here? I like being right. I hate it when I'm wrong, don't you? Except for the time that I found out that I was actually right when I was wrong, right? No, I'm just joking. I hate when I'm wrong. I do. I'm not in a prideful sense or anything. I just hate it. It's like, oh man, I was wrong. I was really wrong on this thing. I missed it, you know? I hate that. You want to be right? You want to be right? Be patient with God. Wait on the Lord. You'll be right. You'll have some rightness about your life. Psalm 33 and verse number 20 says he produces help. Isaiah 8:17 says that it produces diligence. Somebody that waits on God will be a diligent person. They won't be a lazy person, I can guarantee you that. They'll be diligent because they'll be waiting, they'll be seeking. Psalm 123 and verse number 2 tells us it produces patience. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 3 produces vision. And probably many other fruits that I'm missing. Patience with God is no light matter. Invariably, we sometimes think that serving God is really not that much. I mean, I come to church, I kind of read my Bible, I read a little devotional book or something like that. But really, I mean, coming to church, what is it? It's really not that. I have stuff to do, I've got places to go, I've got people to see, I've got work to take care of, and all of these kinds of things. You know, I don't have time to really wait on God with these things. I don't know about you, but man, when I start reading about this stuff and thinking about this for a little bit, waiting on God and patience with God is sounding more and more appealing to me. When you start saying that the fruits of it are goodness, boldness, integrity, mercy, diligence, a longing for God, those kinds of things, vision, purpose, that sounds pretty good to me. I like those kinds of things. And just consider for a moment the great reward for a farmer. Whenever he sees his flock, his crop come in, he's waited and waited and waited, and he's happy. It was worth the wait, he says. And I know and I believe that waiting on the Lord means a payoff of his goodness. It means a payoff of his longing, a payoff of hope, of salvation, of help. But you know what? If I'm just going to stay worried, frustrated, and acting before God says to act, and doing before God says to do, and jumping before God says to jump, then I'm going to step in front of Him, and I'm going to go about, and I'm going to have the experiences of the exact opposite of these things. I'll probably suffer a lack of vision. I will probably suffer a lack of help. I'll probably be a little bit lazier than I am right now. I'll probably be wrong most of the time. And I'll probably have a departure from the Lord. And I'll probably be sad a little bit. Because I didn't wait on God. Didn't wait on God. I mean, how many people are out there right now that just did not think about this in just teen pregnancies alone? How many do you think were out there to say, you know what, I just wish I would have waited. Wish I would have waited. I mean, God's got a purpose. He's got a plan for us, doesn't He? But if we just would have waited, does that mean that our lives are ruined? Not at all. Praise God. He's merciful. Amen. And every single one of us has made mistakes, and every single one of us has gotten ahead of God in some way, somehow. I have, you have. And you know what we experience? We experience a lack of vision, a lack of help, a laziness, or being wrong, a departure from the Lord, and sadness every time we do. every single time. But if we'll wait on Him, then we by faith will experience some of the greatest blessings that we've ever received. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us wait on God. Let us be patient. Let us think before we act. Let us not be frustrated and irritated with Him, but rather let us wait. Let us rest. Let us be still. Be still and know that I am God. God's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan, and He wants to bless us. But part of that blessing comes from waiting. Father,